Hey everybody, and welcome to your Friday, April 4th Jumpcast, the only manga podcast that promises not to record its ending 8 years early. Joining me this week are Greg Jan and Mike Lemieux.
Do any of us even actually watch that?
What, How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah.
He's a huge fan. Did.
Oh, okay. No, I watched the first season, but I never made it past that.
It has its ups and downs.
So have we filmed the endings of me and Imran getting married, me and Dragon getting married, and Greg and Imran getting married?
Polyamorous Utah wedding.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the curveball that no one sees coming.
No, that's the murder.
Well, now you just spoiled it for them. I mean, come on, man.
Well, we still got another 17 years of this left before that ending gets aired. So people.
How does Robin fit in?
She marries Ted. But, all right. House cleaning?
That's a really good Robin joke.
That was not planned. I closed that tab. One second. So Illegal Rare bounced back in the ratings. It's actually
quite a bit
upper half. I'm not entirely sure why, because the second chapter wasn't as good as the first one, in my opinion.
It had that funny cover page.
Yeah, it had a better weapon in that he has a really long fang that he uses as a sword or something like that.
What was it he did before? Like, he shot his fingernails off?
Well, no, he holds onto his fangs and he throws them like daggers, sort of.
Oh, thing. Right.
It was like, yeah. He just keeps them, in his pocket or something. It was kind of lame.
Pocket sand.
Yeah, basically. Just throwing his old fingernails at people.
And then, I Shoujo had its first ranking and it was immediately below, I think that they were the split for top half, bottom half. So, I don't think any of us ever bothered checking out I Shoujo. So I
no,
have no idea.
Of course,
obvious
not.
Reasons.
I read everything, but I don't read Shoujo. Yes, Google, I did mean B Shoujo. Sure.
And yeah, there's another one shot from the author of Magico, whatever that is, next week. But yeah.
Magico.
I've never heard of that.
Magico.
Neither have I.
Sounds familiar.
Anyway, not much in the way of house cleaning this week.
All right, then.
So dive right into Bleach.
So for this week's Bleach, I opened the manga, and I went to go put something in the microwave for a minute and a half, and before the food was done, I had finished with this chapter.
Yeah, no, it's there is not much that happens in this chapter.
Well, I mean, what does happen is that they introduce two new characters, or at least one new character.
Yeah,
because Bleach is totally ending, guys.
Yeah.
The other guy we knew.
And apparently Kenpachi is fighting Edward Elric.
The State Alchemist?
Yeah. Look at his powers. He's basically just Edward Elric.
Just making, the giant towers and...
And there's
Except
lots of guns.
He doesn't have to, clap his hands.
He just imagines it. He's the nouveau Elric.
So yeah, their fight continues, and then the dude that, hung out in the shadows and wouldn't go talk to, Kurotsuchi, is watching them from afar using, little binocular things.
Yeah, what happened with that Kurotsuchi thing?
Remember, he just, left. He's like, okay, bye, and walked away.
Kenpachi is so much more interesting, so, why would he want to stick around with Kurotsuchi, right?
I actually do like that he has a pillow and sandwiches while he's watching this.
And then they introduce a character that appears to just be, a mishmash of random design tropes that
he looks
Kurotsuchi
like,
has.
He looks like a summon from Secret of Mana or something.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
An old flying guy. He looks like Mr. Popo drawn by Kubota Day.
He has a little, hover pod sort of thing. His medical insurance paid for that. So.
The rascal of the Shinigami world.
Yes. And then,
they kind of have a conversation about how it might be better if this imagination kid actually died. Which is, if Kenpachi actually beat him.
Because, his power is troublesome. That being said, he doesn't seem to be using it very creatively.
No. For someone whose power is imagination, he's pretty limited. Maybe that's what happened is he's just watched Full Metal Alchemist and nothing else.
Yeah. So what you're saying is he is, he has the same problem that the first Scribblenauts did.
You can't use adjectives?
No, just that, like, you know, when your power is literally anything, you end up falling back into the, you know, same ruts of you find something that works and then you always use that one.
You make a Pegasus, you handcuff it to the star piece, and then you make a black hole to kill everything else.
Honestly, if he had a jetpack and a sword, this fight would be way more interesting.
Yes, it
should
would.
Be, but this fight is.
Like, he should be flying around on rainbows and throwing leprechauns at him.
Or, you know, he should just go, and now there is no air around you. You know, like.
Actually, you know what? The thing that bothers me about Bleach fights these days is they're basically turn-based.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens this chapter is, like, they start talking again after that attack.
Yep,
they're
so Yatru's bones are bones again, but her one broken bone is still broken, so...
She runs off
to
get healed by Asane.
Yeah.
And also to look for Kotetsu?
That's Asane.
Oh, is it? Why does he say he?
Because that's a mistranslation.
Okay. I figured it was maybe, like, the guys who were dead or alive?
No, her name's Asane Kotetsu, so...
Okay. Her name I can never remember.
Yeah. Oh, because she's so important that you have to get that right into the front of your lobe.
Well, now that Unohana's dead, I'm sure she's going to pick it up.
Yeah. What other medical Shinigami do they have? Hanataro? He's gonna
remember that guy from like way back in the day?
When he was really important? We've never seen him again.
I'm actually wondering if Imran does remember him or not.
Not really, no.
He's remember like the... in the filler when he and Ganju came to the World of the Living and made a store?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Made a what?
Or, like, they worked in a store. Like, a convenience store.
Whatever happened to that one Shinigami that was actually in the manga? Like, he basically started this arc.
Which?
Like,
he came over to
Ichigo's town.
Two ones that were introduced right at the beginning?
Yeah, like, Ichigo took care of them.
Oh, yeah, like the kid. And it seemed like they were going to be...
important. It's super important.
Like, in fair, it's not even Orihime, it's
time. Remember the Visards and the you know, other guys back that they showed in the beginning of this arc, too?
Hey, in fairness, he's ending the manga, and he needs to, like, he can't give time to everything.
Remember
how
they
of course, he could just add in new characters all the time.
Remember how they were going to rescue Halbiel, and then they, like, ran into Grimmjow, and now they're just fucking around in a tent for some reason?
So would this Grimmjow be a good time to note that Bleach was second to last this week?
Like, how does Jump allow that to happen?
Illegal
its volume
rare.
Sales are down, but they're still much, much better than most other series.
I mean, I imagine if you're someone that likes Bleach, it makes more sense to wait for the volumes.
I mean, there are
because nothing fucking happens.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if I'm not mistaken, the volume sales are still around like 300,000 to 400,000 a piece, which is still quite solid.
Bearing in mind that One Piece sells like what 3 million or something when it.
But compared to most series.
Yeah, I know. Like, I'm just saying.
The only series that can remotely compare to One Piece right now is actually Attack on Titan, which if it were not for One Piece last year, its first printing for its next volume would have been a new record.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I think One Piece set a new record or something.
One Piece has been breaking its own record for a while now, but if One Piece had not been doing that, Attack on Titan would have set a new record.
Yeah.
Do you think the Attack on Titan guy just has like a picture of Oda in his office just throwing darts at it?
Do you think like
he's gunning for him?
There's one Titan somewhere that's like based on Oda that like gets its head cut off.
So Imagination Guy makes a bunch of pillars out of the floor, which is something Edward Elric did all the time. And then throws them at Kenpachi.
Well, yeah, this is after Kenpachi says, okay, let's start our fight, which...
Because it totally hasn't started, you know. Oh, there we... yeah, sorry. This is actual news, and since I was talking about it, I just went and looked. Volume 13 of Attack on Titan is getting 2.75 million for its first printing.
Neat.
Which, yeah. The current record is 4.05, set by One Piece. Okay.
So the only cool part of this chapter happens where Kenpachi avoids all those hits, and then Imagination Guy creates a whole bunch of guns.
Yeah, which I saw that and like, oh, here we go. And then
yeah, like this actually looks like it could get more interesting.
And he fires a missile at him, and then you see the missile cut in half and blow up in his face.
And then Kenpachi's just like, that was a nice hit.
Now it's my turn, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. looks like you've finally started enjoying the fight.
Yeah.
And then the chapter's over.
Mm-hmm.
That really feels like a super short chapter.
Because next time it's going to be Kenpachi's turn.
Now, Kenpachi's going to throw an attack, and it's going to have...
It will involve him swinging his sword.
Yeah. I'm telling you, three hands. That's really...
Like, I kind of want to legitimately, like, Photoshop battle our HP numbers over everyone's head. Because that's basically what is happening now. Yep.
I'm really thinking this is leading towards, like, Kenpachi just going to scare the hell out of him, and the kid's going to imagine him being a monster, and he's going to become a, like, an actual demon or something for the fight.
That could be cool.
It could be cool. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that thought had not occurred to me. I was just assuming that Kenpachi would, you know, cut him.
What world am I in where a Renji fight is interesting and a Kenpachi fight is boring?
A world where Mask to Mask exists.
Yeah. That would have been a better fight.
Kenpachi versus Master Masculine would have been that would have given us that would have justified this arc.
Yeah. Instead they pair him against somebody that can't possibly fight him evenly.
No, we haven't.
It's not a power difference, it's just like it's a complete fighting style mismatch.
Yeah. I think there's room to salvage this fight.
There's definitely room, but
okay. It is theoretically possible in a Dumb and Dumber 1 in a million, so you're saying there's a chance way.
Yeah. Like, at this point, I half expect Ichigo to come down and solve this fight.
I kind of want Ichigo to just, like, land on this kid.
Didn't see that coming. Could not have imagined that, huh?
So, yeah, what do you guys think next week? I mean,
I think it's just going to be Kenpachi, you know, swinging his sword. Like, I am not expecting much other than him attacking at this point.
I bet we get another panel of the kid, like, falling backwards with a slash going through him, and then that not killing him.
I think Bleach will beat my microwave again.
Is that going to be, like,
that
the
seems lit a
test?
Very reasonable prediction.
Is it going to be, like, no, this time I actually had to stop halfway through and go get my oatmeal. It was a great chapter.
The
Wouldn't
art isn't bad,
that
at least.
It was a very text-dense chapter?
At the very least, the gun thing was the last thing he used, so maybe it'll keep going in that direction. Instead of going from guns to pillars, which would have been bad.
I actually just realized he raised this fighting platform so he wouldn't have to draw backgrounds.
Well, they were in a featureless white room anyway.
But that had, like, a door frame and stuff.
Oh.
But now there's not that.
All right, then.
Let's go on to Shukuya Kinosoma.
Which has I guess there was a contest where people sent in their own recipes or something like that, and then people voted on them?
The winner is some salmon belly don, which looks really good.
It does look good. Now I'm hungry. I just ate. God damn you, Shukuya Kinosoma.
That's going to be the problem, because I don't eat until after we do this podcast.
Well, that's a good thing. So it'll make you nice and hungry before you go.
Gotta go make some pork fried rice after this.
So it flashes back to 2 years ago when Nakiri Alice was 14.
And she's exactly 14 and in middle school, which seems kind of wrong.
I was 14 in middle school for a couple of months.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I could swear that most, like, you turn 13 when you're a freshman, right? For most people?
No.
Because then you only have 4 years in high.
Yeah, for me, it's 6th, 7th, and 8th grade in middle school.
Yes.
Then 9th through 12th.
Yes, and by the time you graduate high school, you're normally around 18, right? So you're 13
right.
and 14 when you're in a freshman in high school.
Well, maybe she's dumb in other things besides cooking.
I don't know. That was one of the things that stood out to me in this thing. I'm like, I don't think 14-year-olds are normally in middle school.
I'm pretty sure, like, it probably depends on birthday, but yeah, I was 14 in middle school when I did.
So I'm not entirely sure how the middle high school breakdown works in Japan.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like, for all I know, she is in 9th grade, but that is whatever.
So she is shokuyaking somebody to take their clubhouse and room.
Yeah. For when, presumably, when she comes to the school or something.
Yes.
So
she has her own workspace and stuff.
And then she totally destroys them.
Yeah. This guy who was not going to win loses 5-0. I love Alice in the background holding up her winner sign.
And has the fairy eyes, which are used to great effect this chapter.
She's the best background character, I think.
She has great reactions.
Yeah.
So the twist here is that the guy comes in to start moving his equipment out of the club room, and Alice and Rio come in and say, like, no, I took the club room and everything in it. That was our agreement.
Yeah, this is my stuff now.
So that's, like, thus far the only, like, vaguely evil thing she's done.
And it was a fair bet. Like,
yeah.
She gets the club room. That includes all of the equipment.
Like, some of the molecular gastronomy stuff, but it's worse than the stuff she already has at home. But it'll be good for, like, a mobile unit or something.
Which explains why she has the stuff at, like, here.
So the guy tries to stop her, and Rio picks him up with one hand and lifts him off the ground.
And well, he has his hands in his
pockets. Apologizing and being really nice and all that sort of stuff while he's, you know, grasping his jaw.
Yeah, he's about to, like, snap this guy's neck, and he's just like, would you please leave?
That is the rule of high school manga. If somebody had their hands in their pockets, that means they're a great fighter.
Also with a fluttered coat behind them, too.
Yeah. So she explains she's not as stubborn as her cousin. So I'm betting when she loses this, she gives all that stuff back.
Maybe. Like, that's her redemption.
Yeah. Oh, like, well, or that if this is her mobile unit, then she'll blame it on the equipment or something like that.
This guy was a second year 2 years ago, so he's probably long gone.
Yeah, true. So she gives her mist-covered dish to the judges.
And they pull
out the mist, and it's revealed that it was, you know, liquid nitrogen, which was keeping it cold.
Yep.
A sushi bento of 12 sushi rolls of various styles.
And so the rest of the chapter is basically just judge reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah, and describing what each one was and why she made those choices.
Yeah, they're so basically the gist of her dish is it's arranged in a, like, 4x3 grid, and you start at the top left and eat them one at a time, and they all play off each other.
And you're supposed to eat them in order.
Yeah, and quickly, because they're supposed to...
at once. So basically, we can already tell how she's going to lose this round.
Yeah. She's made a very inconvenient bento.
Yeah.
It tastes amazing, but...
And Soma's father taught him that you need to consider your audience when making the food.
So, I love the grandfather's reaction.
Of taking off his shirt?
Yeah, and saying overflowing.
Yes, in that, and apparently that is, you know, his trademark reaction, so people were expecting him to do it.
I just love, like, the next panel is, like, him awkwardly putting his robe back on.
Yeah, like, as...
So it wasn't just a, you know, reaction, it's he actually did that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, we're not, like, super sushi experts. I don't know that we could discuss each individual one to great detail, but
they seem to like them. We've basically gone over the thrust of this chapter, which is it's a certain kind of bento that needs to be eaten a certain kind of way.
And Soma does not seem worried at all. He's not, like, really even paying attention.
Yeah, they had the contrast between everybody, you know, in the stands going, like, this is the sort of person that we have to compete against. We'll never catch up to her. And, you know, the grandfather, you know, points out specifically that, oh, there are other people who are, you know, willing to challenge her.
Yeah. So it seems like he's frying chicken again. It's like the one hint we get to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still like Alice better than Arena.
Oh, yeah. Alice is great.
Yeah, she is, honestly, she's more of a character at this point.
I think she's going to learn a really good... So we're all in agreement, right, that she's going to lose because someone's going to have, like, a real bento that's good that you can,
like,
eat.
Well, it's
going to
be the sort of thing that, like, you can share with friends or something like that.
Or reheat or keep with you all day or, like... Because most of the time, like, as I understand it, businessmen are, like, buying bentos before they get on the train to go to work. Like,
yeah.
It's not something that's, like, I'm going to sit down and eat this right now in this specific order with, like, all the stuff that I need to eat it.
So this is my ultimate problem with this manga, is that everything is the Ratatouille ending. Like, it's the, like, well, this person made food that reminds you of home.
Well, I think specifically...
Well, I don't think that this one's going to be reminding them of home. I think...
Or it's just, like, a more homey feel, you know?
See, I think the thing here is that, like, this sort of isn't a bento, it's just, like, a plate of sushi in a box. I think is going to be the like turning point.
It's just that like this manga, it loves to do the underdog beats the gourmet cook that is putting on airs.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, the times it doesn't do that, or, like, it subverts that thing, or the times where I think it's best, like, that Shokugeki versus the French chef.
Yeah, because, I mean, Soma has just straight up beaten the other person before in taste and preparation and everything. I mean, who knows? He might do that here, too. We're just guessing that it's going to be the Ratatouille ending.
I mean, yeah, it's going to have some element of that, and I think it needs to get out of that comfort zone at some point. I think it's most interesting when it does. Like, what if... I know it's not going to happen. What if Soma just straight up lost?
That would be pretty funny.
Like, that would throw everybody for a loop.
Very surprising.
Just have him pouting in the audience for the rest of the arc. Just have him, like...
Ends up, what's her name ends up winning?
Arms crossed, looking off to the side, being like, I could have made a better
chicken than
that.
Fuck the school. I hate the school. Why am I here?
Oh, you roasted it in soy sauce. Oh, good job. I could have.
Why did you tell me to come here, Dad?
I
hate you.
If I had a truck, I could do this too. But yeah, I mean, it's good. It just... It's predictable, I guess.
Well, I mean...
The people Soma loses against are the people it's obvious he's going to lose against.
Maybe. I'm still not sure if he's going to end up winning this, because you get you actually are guaranteed a seat on the top 10?
I don't think so. I think it's just more that
if you don't win it, then you're probably not.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we'll consider you if you win.
It's their weekly tournament.
Yeah. Man, they got a lot of production values into a tournament that they have every single week. Like flying in judges from around the world and...
Well, this one specifically is not a weekly thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know how much time is spent Shokugeki no Soma, but it seems like every week they have a thing of eliminating people or making people look terrible.
I think we're also, you know, only getting the highlights of the course of the school year, but...
It's hard to tell.
Yeah. So anyway, speaking of cooking...
Speaking of bento battles...
Yeah, this is weirdly...
Appropriate.
I want to first call out that I don't like this cover image
of Chitoge with her pants unbuttoned.
Yeah, unbuttoned and unzipped, as she's like splayed out on a like food tray. This over sexualizing of Chitoge is strange to me.
On that note,
implying that she should be, you know, consumed or something like that.
It's mostly the shorts that are bothering me. Like, that appears to be Chitoge's new outfit, even though that's something I don't recall her ever wearing.
Short shorts?
Yeah. Like, clearly open short shorts. Because it was on the DVD cover, too.
Maybe that's what tests well with people.
That's what I'm assuming, is that he's sexing the characters up on purpose.
Because of the anime.
Yeah.
Her tongue is really weirding me out on her face.
It's just, like, sticking out like a...
But it's like a frown with her... I don't know.
Doesn't look like a frown.
She's like scowling.
She looks confused, is the thing.
Yeah.
Which,
like,
I would be too if I were
food?
Like, if I were half naked on a plate of food.
Why are my pants undone? Why are we doing this?
That would be a scary thing way to wake up. Nope, get the hell out of here.
So everyone's studying in the library.
So this is basically an episode of Community.
Yeah. They're having a bottle episode.
Yeah. So they're studying, and then they get hungry.
Yeah.
And Tachibana presents an extravagant bento to Raku.
Yeah, I see there's like 12 boxes, and you eat them in order. And she kept...
Who sits there alone? What kind of asshole, like, gets two boxes of bento and then eats it all alone?
Yeah, doesn't offer it to his friends or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, they were all going to get food. You're right. What an asshole.
He's fawning over the food and how great it is, and Tachibana's like, oh, I learned how to cook just for you. Now I can be your perfect housewife. And Chitoge's getting mad jelly.
Yeah, like bringing up her grades and stuff.
Yep.
Trying to bring
She's
her down
like,
a notch.
I could totally cook for you. We're going to have a Shokugeki.
Yep.
And they do. So Chitoge...
I do wonder to what extent that this is actually like influenced by... Shokugeki no Soma.
Oh, I don't think it is at all. I think that it's just...
It seems
a random story choice.
Would this have been last week's one during the first?
I mean, not necessarily what's going on in Shogate no Soma, but like that manga is popular, so let's also do a food chapter.
Well, no, it just seems like a normal trope for this sort of.
Yeah, it's kind of going down the checklist. This isn't exactly a, far out idea.
Yeah, I guess so. So Chitoge is cooking the food, and I like that her imagination at what Raku's going to react like is like sketchy and kind of weird looking.
Yeah, like a child's drawing.
Yeah. So she shows Raku her boxed lunch, which is just like a bubbling goo pile instead of a box.
Yeah.
It's a curry. It's totally a curry, right, guys?
It's ginger pork.
Ugh. And Raku tastes it and like gets blasted out of the chair like he's punched in the face.
Chitoge abuses him in all ways.
My favorite joke is Tachibana runs over and like, here, drink this juice I made. And he's like, oh, thank God, this is amazing.
So I picked the fruit myself.
She admits she never even looked at the recipe.
So which Raku's doesn't like, seem like a good way for a beginner to, start cooking.
Especially like ginger pork, because there's meat involved in that, so...
So Raku says you kind of have to try again with actually looking at the recipe. So she does, and it's even worse.
This one amuses me just because it's the splatter on the box that say bear head, so it looks like a severed bear's head.
And it turns out it was intended to be a sandwich. So he tries it, and he gets blasted into the wall.
Sandwiches have recipes.
So then she just tries to fry him an egg.
And it's like a weird alien cube.
Yes. I like Raku's response of like, how did this even happen?
So he tries
this
to fight it.
This is probably the best joke in the chapter, honestly, is the fried egg cube.
He tries to bite it. No, I think the best is the reaction faces of Chitoge, like, what are you talking about? Why would this look weird? It looks fine.
So he kind of like gnaws on the corner of it and it throws him into the ceiling. Which is pretty funny.
Like, this is a repetitive chapter, but it was a funny repetitive chapter.
Oh, it's Nisekoi repetitive. This was a good chapter.
Yeah. And so Tachibana and her handmaiden already have a sushi restaurant set up in the library.
And she's rolling Raku some sushi.
Because that is a very appropriate thing to have in a library.
And she gives Chitoge an ultimatum that if the next thing she makes is unedible, then she's going to make Raku's lunch for the rest of time.
So she gets home and realizes she left the fridge open.
And all the ingredients are spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
And so she remembers what Tsugumi said about making food out of love.
And she finds rice is the only thing that survived.
Yeah.
So she makes rice balls.
Yep. Yeah. And they're actually pretty okay.
Yeah. I like that they're kind of like misshapen and crummy looking.
Yeah.
That was kind of adorable.
Yeah. But then, everybody else is eating them as well because he'll share these, but, not the awesome.
Yeah, this is shit. Everyone else can have this.
Like fucking Marika's sushi stand. He's sitting there by himself and eating it right in front of her, too. Just like popping him back after telling her how terrible her food was.
And so it turns out that all that is necessary to make good food is to be thinking about Raku while making it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's also necessary to, continue living.
Maybe that's why Marika is so good at it, is because she never stops thinking about Raku, so she's absorbing his powers.
She's like the spirit ball of...
Yeah.
It's what allows her to continue breathing with her disease. It's because, she's on his life support.
Wait, she has disease because she didn't always live in that town. She lived in, Okinawa?
Does Raku
so
know
what you're
about
saying the... is... Oh, sorry, what?
Does Raku know about her anime disease?
No.
Maybe that's why she hasn't died.
I think he knows she's sick.
He knows that there is a secret of some sort.
So maybe that's why she hasn't died, is because he doesn't know, so it hasn't... it hasn't existed.
So once he is aware of the disease, then it becomes active?
Yeah.
I like how we're not even treating this as a joke anymore. Like, this is the actual Nisekoi story.
This is the... what, like, Squall is dead thing, where we're just treating it as fact.
Canon?
Yeah.
Headcanon.
It does make discussing Nisekoi from week to week a lot more interesting.
Yes, it does. It's one of the things that makes discussing it week to week entertaining. It's kind of like, how does this fit into the greater Raku universe theory?
I really like this chapter, and I found it funny that it was about, bento battles.
Yeah. It was a funny chapter in general. Like... what Nisekoi does well is reaction faces and repetition.
The cube egg. It's just so weird.
All right, then. On
we
to...
Do you like doing predictions or not?
No.
I mean, there's nothing... It's not going to carry on for this arc.
I do know last week we did say, I bet next week in Nisekoi they're going to do a Shokugeki over Bentos. But
so we got that right.
Yeah, we hardly ever get it right, so...
I bet next week it turns out that Chitoge is the reincarnation of an old ninjutsu warrior.
I was going to say, next week they find out their new teacher is an alien, and they're going to have to assassinate her for the reward money.
That manga sounds stupid. Yeah. On to Assassination Classroom.
That would never be. That would never catch on.
On to Titty Booby Hour, the assassination.
So, remember last week when there was like a one-panel joke about how Kuro-sensei is a criminal, and it shows a newspaper about someone stealing bras?
Yeah, I was actually just listening to that episode the other day, and we just like totally just like, ha, that was funny. Anyway, next week.
It was a one-panel sight gag, and then it turns out that's actually lining up the next arc.
That is the plot for the next chapter.
Assassination Classroom does that quite a bit, where the last panel is actually leading into the next chapter.
Yeah, we should probably learn to not ignore that so much.
I don't know.
So, a gooey, creepy, giant yellow man with tentacles has been stealing bras.
You see Kuro-sensei with, like, three bras in his mouth, just Nuru-fufuing a bunch.
And then all of his students are disgusted with him.
Yeah, as he walks in the classroom, like, thinking, oh, I can't wait to see their respect in their eyes. He comes in and everyone's staring daggers at him.
They all have the newspaper.
Yep.
So they start interrogating him, you know, asking for his alibi.
Oh, he has an alibi. He was up in space by himself, eating McDonald's.
Where no one could possibly see him. Though, like, apparently Japanese McDonald's has a thing where, like, you put the spices in with the fries and shake them.
That sounds amazing!
Yeah, they should do that here.
What's his name? Isago?
There's a lot of amazing things in Japanese McDonald's.
Isogai stands up for him. And says, you can't just accuse him without proof.
Sure, he may be a beetle-wearing pervert and reads porn and, like, talks to it. And
accepts bribes for porn and...
He writes to models and tells them that he wants to give them a tentacle bra.
And then he realizes, wait a second, this sounds like totally the sort of thing that he would do.
He peters out, like, halfway through defending him.
Yeah.
So they go to Kuro-sensei's office desk.
Yeah, he's going to prove, and he opens it, and it's filled with nothing but porn. And bras.
So the porn doesn't seem to bother him. It's the bra inside that's like, oh, this is weird.
Guys,
look at the roll call book. And it has all of their cup sizes. And
Kayano is the best, which is it's zero, and it says forever next to it.
Yes.
So what do we got? Like, Megu's got a C.
What's Nagisa got?
Oh, does he have one next to him? Oh, that would have been a good joke. So the biggest one is Toka, which is one that we haven't seen. I don't think they've focused on her at all. I'm just saying.
Yeah. And on the last page, there's a list of people in the city with F-cups and higher.
Yes.
So Kuro-sensei freaks out and says, we need to have a barbecue right now.
I feel the need to point out that Japanese cups run a size bigger than Western, just to give people an idea.
Yeah. So he pulls out the skewers for the barbecue, and the skewers have, like, nothing but bras on them.
Seems like a good barbecue.
Yeah, it sounds like a fun barbecue.
So he is totally ashamed and just, like, sulks out of the classroom at the end of class.
Because he's lost their respect.
Yeah. And then Nagisa points out, like, hey, do you guys actually think Kuro-sensei did this? And Karma's being the smart person points out that, no, probably not.
Yeah. You know, if he can move at Mach 20, he wouldn't leave all of those pieces of evidence around.
Or just have his desk, like, full of bras.
Or have, like, skewers have bras on them for some reason. That doesn't even make sense.
And more importantly, he wouldn't do it because losing their respect would be detrimental to him.
Yeah.
And, of course, the biggest one that he did is, like, why would he put a bra on a basketball?
I mean, I know why, but why?
So, Fuwa, who is, as you recall, the Shonen Jump mystery expert.
Yes.
Insists that it must be a fake Kuro-sensei.
Yeah. The drawing of fake Kuro-sensei is amazing.
Yeah.
I feel like the bullets are a reference to something, like the bullet wounds on the chest.
I want to say it's like a Fist of the North Star thing, but maybe just the art style that's throwing me off.
I feel like he does have bullets on his chest.
So they decide to go investigate.
And like Ritsu dons her Sherlock Holmes thing, and Kayano is still pissed.
Yeah, okay, Fist of the North Star guy totally does. The North Star, he's got the Big Dipper on. Anyway.
So they use their parkour ability to check out like an idol gym.
Yep, which they're is practicing doing their laundry. A new dance song or something like that. So
all their bras are drying outside. At night, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
So and they're
Korra
staking
Sensei
it out.
Had the same idea.
Yeah. He's in the distance wearing like the ninja outfit and
they briefly wonder if he's there to steal it.
But he appears to be staking it out, and they see somebody else coming.
Big man with a yellow helmet.
Yeah, on a motorcycle. Wait, no.
And Kuro-sensei stops him.
Pulls off his helmet to find out who it is, and it's Karasuma's subordinate.
Yep.
Kind of nobody.
Yeah. He's this guy who's been in the back a couple different chapters.
And then a mysterious voice says that, like, he had a debt to repay to his country, so we used him to lure you here, as walls go up around him.
Yeah, yep. Like anti-sensei sheets. So making a cage to keep him in.
I've forgotten this guy. Shiro,
yes.
Yeah.
Shiro says, or it revealed to be him, and he says, we're using the trick your students figured out on the southern island.
And then Itona descends from the top of the trap with a knife.
And his tentacles look more scorpion-esque, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
They had to rebuild them, didn't they?
I don't know. He changes every time he shows up.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be out of place if he told Koro-sensei to get over here and stab them. I'm wondering if that's anti-sensei material around them. Because they're kind of the same
color. I don't
see
how that would work, though, because that would also hurt
his tentacles.
I don't
know. Maybe they're safe on the inside.
It does say anti-sensei sheets.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, cage of anti-sensei sheets.
Yeah, well, the sheets are the, you know, things that the walls around him are anti-sensei.
I thought you said sheaths. Like, that would have made sense.
Sheaths, yeah.
But yeah,
so, they seem to have completely ignored one very easy way for him to get out, although I guess the fact that Itona's there, yeah, going down.
So, I don't want to toot my own horn or anything, but I'm pretty sure last week I said Shiro and Itona would be showing up.
But you say that every week.
I do, but give this to me, please.
Broken clock.
Yeah. Although it's less impressive when the Raws are out there and I could theoretically be cheating.
But yeah.
I'm not.
But I wonder how, like, I assume the students are going to intervene since they're all there for some reason.
Yeah, they're going to have to save him.
I mean, it should be pretty easy for them to tear down the sheets.
Yeah. Just have...
Or maybe we'll actually, you know, they'll go for that and we'll get some more exposure to Shiro himself as opposed to just Itona.
Yeah, because this is what, round 3?
Yeah, I think so.
It'd be interesting to see them trying to assassinate Shiro.
There has to be more to Shiro than...
I mean, we can basically figure he is the anti-Kuro-sensei.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that he seems to have a round head and beady little eyes hidden behind his mask.
So the bra guy is not Kuro's, like, was he the guy in the first page?
I don't think so, no.
Come to think of it, yeah. So,
because he doesn't have tentacles.
So if we're under the assumption that Shiro is like Kuro-sensei, I wonder if that's Shiro with the bras.
Or it could just be, like, you know,
just an artist rendering.
A costume.
Yeah, because the guy does look like Kuro-sensei.
Yeah, like... It's just a
lot.
It's a, what's the phrase, like the untrustworthy narrator thing?
Yeah.
Of like, maybe it did just look like the dude in the bike helmet.
Because if you look at his helmet, it kind of looks like Kuro-sensei's.
Yeah. It
face.
Has a smile and.
Yeah.
Looks like a Durarara character.
Yeah. So I can't wait to see what happens next week.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be so good. I wasn't expecting this, so soon.
What are you talking about? You predicted it.
I know. I was expecting it.
I just think it's great that, like, that one panel joke just led to the next arc. I was like,
so
that's
what you're saying
psychic.
Is you predict that an Assassination Classroom chapter is going to be good?
Maybe.
I don't buy it.
Two-time Manga of the Year winner.
I'm going to have to retire it if it wins again this year.
And then we'll just call it the Koro Sensei Award. The Sensei.
All right. On to One Piece.
Yeah.
Wherein Vivi is wearing a tennis outfit.
The Princess of Tennis?
That works.
Eh, sure.
Yep. And, you know, Karu can do, what's it called now? Asura.
Oh, he's the reincarnation of... He's the reincarnation of Asura?
Yeah, well, no, he can do it better than Zoro can. I mean, that's a heck of a lot more than 9.
Well, he's secretly the strongest character.
So, Sugar has passed out.
Yeah.
And all the toys are coming back to normal.
I'm glad that we get a real quick Enel face from Treble.
Yeah. Who can actually, like, legitimately do an Enel face because he's made of goo. And Robin turns back immediately.
Yeah. Which got
me
pumped.
She just pops back.
I was kind of expecting some kind of like, oh, I guess maybe passing out doesn't change him back or something like that. But yeah. No, right away people start changing back.
Like then you see all the people from the Coliseum.
Yeah, Brown. Wait, not Brownbeard. The guy looks like Brownbeard. Cavendish.
Don Chijiao.
Yeah. Everyone.
And then I was pleased to see that the guys in the, you know, pile of broken toys are also coming back, because it would have been really dark to not show that and just imagine that turning into a pile of corpses, basically.
Yeah. So Treble calls Doflamingo.
I messed up bad.
Sugar, from the Sugar has passed out, and Doflamingo is kind of incredulous.
Which starts, my favorite thing in this chapter is Doflamingo just getting worse and worse news as his plan falls apart. Is a great
he one. Maybe should not have like filled the kingdom with toys.
Yeah, maybe, you know, burning all those people after,
or you know keep some of them around to work, but you don't have to do it throughout the entire kingdom.
So we see that dog from a while ago turn back, the one that was the father of the child
before. Yeah. That I want to point this out, and like it has no relevance to anything, but there's like this guy doing like the Thriller zombie dance
because the curse has been lifted. Yeah. Real life Thriller. So,
I guess so
the guy turns back, and all of a sudden, his wife and son remember him, and then very quickly,
the monkey with symbols turns into a giant gorilla.
I love it. Yeah. So then people start shouting, like, or I'm not sure if that happens yet, but it starts getting around. Yep. That Doflamingo's been behind this.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and so in different sections, you know, Dressrosa soldiers are coming back, some government officials that they took, you know.
Leaders of other
leaders
countries.
Leaders of other
animals.
Nations that people don't remember.
They apparently turned a bunch of animals into...
I wonder if those, like, you think those were early experiments on, you know, just seeing what they could do?
Probably. Yeah. I had a brief moment where I saw the giraffe. I was like, was Kaku there?
That would have been funny.
And the interesting thing is that, you know, the Vice Admiral and Fujitora are sitting there and listening to all of that and holding their own counsel, I would guess.
Yeah. Like, I think now's the time that Doflamingo has crossed a line.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, they know that they can't protect this kingdom from, like, everybody. Well,
they can't cover this up. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to step in and be on the side against Doflamingo.
Yeah.
Cuts back to Frankie, who is laughing, hearing all of this.
He's like, yep, I, you know, distracted them long enough. He is satisfied.
Usopp did it.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to Zoro, who is still lost within Pika, which I think it's...
Pika has disappeared.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing that, like, Zoro's greatest enemy is the person who makes mazes.
Yeah, so, yeah, Pika has gone somewhere, it seems. Which is...
And,
cuts
Robin
back to Usopp.
I wonder if Pika was a toy.
Mm.
It's theoretically possible.
Maybe.
I don't.
They
saw his body before. I don't think so.
They turn really toy-like. Like, I'm not sure if there'd be one. Like, a person.
And he could be a big action figure. Who knows?
So yeah, you were saying cuts back to Robin.
Cuts back to Robin, who's holding Usopp. It's like, Operation SOP was a success.
Yes, and the Tontatas are saying that, you know, they will build a bronze statue of him because he is, without a doubt, their hero.
And Usopp does the cool guy thing of, like, raising one thumb up.
Yeah. He's okay!
Yes. The real fight starts now.
And then it cuts back to Doflamingo hearing all this still, like, rubbing his temples, just freaking out.
Yeah, it's like, please respond.
Maybe your entire plan should not have hinged on one girl going unconscious.
The reports are not stopping. Like, the kingdom is falling.
Well, and maybe Doflamingo's plan shouldn't have hinged on one girl not falling unconscious.
Yeah. Like, all the kingdom is now rallying around the castle and, like, screaming for Doflamingo's head.
Yeah, they're gonna fucking kill him. They're out for blood.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Luffy is like, hey, where'd Soldier One Leg go?
Yeah, and Viola, you know, remembers who he is now.
Her brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then Luffy still doesn't get it because he was not filled up on the dramatic backstory.
Nobody else saw all those black panels.
So he finds out it is the captain of the King Riku's Royal Army, and I love how he's running up there with one leg still.
I think he's using the sword as the other leg.
I just
envision him just hopping the entire time.
Maybe he's still wearing the roller skates. Who knows?
And Luffy figures out that he's the guy from the statue.
Yeah, which is good for Luffy. He put something together.
He remembered the name that was on the statue.
From, like, earlier in the day.
So Viola kind of figures out, oh, that's why he was taking care of Rebecca for so long.
Yeah.
Because he was her father.
And the king also remembers.
And he feels bad because he forgot about Kiros.
Yeah, like, Soldier One Leg had rescued him, but he didn't know who he was.
The king shouts and asks, are you Kiros?
Yeah.
He responds, yes, as he lunges in the air.
Yeah, and also Law takes notice as all this is going on.
I really think Law is going to give him a peg leg. Like,
he will give him an animal leg or something like that.
Well, before that, Kiros cuts off Doflamingo's head.
The one thing I want to make sure that you're aware of, there is a panel of Law noticing before.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna. Attack. That's why I wanted to get to that before we started talking about Law.
Yeah,
because I'm pretty sure that was not a gore cut.
That is not a gore cut.
So Kiros apologizes for making the king wait 10 years for this and decapitates Doflamingo, which was awesome.
And you know, Buffalo is freaking out.
Yeah. So, is Law chained with Seastone?
Yes.
So that was specifically Seastone.
I have theories about this. We'll talk about it after the chapter.
Okay.
So Luffy's like, cool, Mingo's dead. Awesome.
And then grabs Viola and jumps in and goes to save Law.
Also, as a side note, this is a really bad time for Kinemon to be running around dressed up as Doflamingo.
maybe that's going to be who Kiros cut the head off of.
I don't think so.
Because the skies got way better, and then now he's dead.
So Kiros proclaims that our true Dressrosa has returned.
And then
the true Dressrosa starts.
From what I thought would have been the end of the chapter, it keeps going. We cut back to the Colosseum.
And Rebecca, you know, remembers her father and everything else.
I don't know that she hasn't put together that the soldier was the father, right? She just remembers that she has a father.
I think so.
I don't know.
Because it's not necessarily like they know that they were toys, she just remembers him. So then Sabo starts laughing to himself about this country and how bad it's been.
Yep, and, you know, basically says, all right, let's finish this thing. And, you know, hockeys both of his hands into the arena.
Not just hockeys, he uses a move simply called Dragon's Breath.
Yeah. Or Dragon's Claw Fist, whatever.
Yeah, Breath. Something.
Basically, it's a move you would expect, say, Dragon to use.
And then it cuts to, I love another gorilla in the audience.
Yeah.
Multiple gorillas.
Or that might be the same one.
I don't know. It's sitting in the audience.
Yeah. But so, the entire ring explodes.
With one attack.
Yep.
And he still says he's ready to win this.
I think he's still going for it. It's just, you know, what's it called?
He wants the fruit.
Yeah, but then also Hack is heading for the basement or something like that.
Yeah, he gets back in touch with Koala.
Yeah.
He's the fish man, right? That we thought was
the
spy.
Yeah, I think so.
Right. And that's the end of the chapter.
Yeah.
What a great chapter.
Yeah, this was amazing.
So this arc is what Skypiea should have been. Really, like, it's a civil war that does not necessarily involve the main crew extensively, but it I care about it. It makes me interested to see what happens.
All-out revolt on Enel. Did Enel ever really get exposed, or did he just kind of run off after he got beat?
Oh, I mean, he was always the big bad villain sort of thing.
No, no, I mean, but was he exposed as a fraud, that he wasn't a god? Like, did he have that moment of, hey, everyone, Doflamingo's not cool. Here's all the things.
Don't do Doflamingo.
I don't think, I mean, I think he just had a god complex, and I think that it was when he had the freak out. He had the NL face when he realized he could be punched.
Right, right. But I mean, the people of Skypiea thought of him as a god, right? Or were they just fearful of him?
Well, well, there was that thing, but then, if you recall, there was another person who was referred, like, the one knight dude was referred to as Kami, as God, before him, as well. I think that was more of a title thing. I think was the only one who referred, like, actually thought of himself as God.
Okay, so it wouldn't necessarily have, like, the fall from power moment, but...
Yeah, yeah.
So let's talk about Doflamingo getting his head cut off for a second,
because it's... clearly not, like, Tim dead.
That seems important. So,
I'm going to throw my hat in the ring. Given the fact that Law was tied up with Seastone, I am going to guess that this is something that Pika created. Like, he pulled him into the ground and replaced him with a stone thing that looked like it, or something like that.
The face has moved after the...
So what was Law's goal here? Was his goal to have Doflamingo killed?
He
wanted revenge of some sort.
Because Doflamingo, like, fucked him over back on East Blue or something like that.
And hurt, like, somebody that he cared about. Huh?
Like, his crew is held captive or something like that? We don't know. But...
Well, there's that, but then there's also the one person's name that he mentioned when he went to fight him on the bridge. I don't remember what the name was, though.
Yeah. So
I'm trying to figure out if, like, there would be a reason that Law would...
save Doflamingo? Maybe Doflamingo knows something that he doesn't want. Like, he needs that information still. So it's
just not seeing how Law could have done it if he's tied up with Seastone.
So,
well, we're assuming he's tied up with Seastone.
Here's my theory. Doflamingo uses marionette strings. Who's to say this is his actual body and not a marionette that we have been watching the entire time?
He was weirdly defenseless this whole thing.
And he's, like, super tall. I'm, like, wondering if, like, Doflamingo doesn't even look like this. Like, the entire time we've just been watching a marionette, like, you know, the Sasori thing of I'm just controlling this puppet, making people think it's me.
That
I don't know, he's like,
possible, yeah.
He's like 7 feet tall, which is kind of weird.
Well, that's not weird for One Piece.
I guess, but for his frame and stuff, people
aren't. Main reason I'd say this isn't over is because Luffy hasn't fought anyone yet.
Yeah, yes. There's no way this is over. I'm... really, really excited for next week, hoping we get resolution on Headgate.
You know, obviously, we should totally have been doing this entire thing, pretending that it was actually over, and talking about how wonderful it is that there was finally an arc where, you know, somebody else got that moment of satisfaction instead of Luffy, and...
No. Well, like being right too much.
Decapitation, no coming back from that, someone finally died in One Piece. Not like holding a nuke, which you can walk away from, like, getting cut off, that's it.
Now that I think about it, like, every One Piece arc is them instituting themselves in, like, a civil war.
Basically, yeah.
It's
what pirates do. So
yeah, this one, really, really good. Yeah.
Like, holy shit.
Like, when Oda brings it, he really brings it.
I was totally expecting to get to the end of this chapter saying, like, One Piece will be on hiatus while Oda Sensei recovers at the end of it.
So now that they've broken the stage, they can get into the...
They're
going to
fall,
down
where Treble and all them are, too, and it's just going to be total bedlam. So I'm guessing it's going to be, like, Sabo, Robin, and Cavendish or something, and Don Chinjiao versus, you know...
Treble
and Diamante and Jesus.
I really want to see Cavendish just go crazy on everybody.
Just everybody, period.
Yeah. I think maybe he'll end up fighting Diamante, actually.
Yeah. I think it's going to have to end up being Rebecca finishing off Diamante. You know, for the...
Because they really haven't played up the Sabo-Jesus thing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there was a moment... I forget exactly what happened, but there was a moment where it seemed like he was specifically there after Jesus.
Yeah, well, I think he's killing two birds with one stone. I really think it's a Kill Bill style hit list of these are the people responsible for Ace's death. I'm going to.
Yeah, he seems to be enjoying that fight at the very least.
Yeah.
Like he wants to make.
But I don't know why you guys are writing off Bartolomeo. I think he is totally going to get that fruit.
Right? He has a fruit.
Yeah, so he's going to give it to Luffy.
He could like build a shrine to it. Draw Luffy's face on it.
That would be pretty funny if, like, after all the fight's done, Lucy's celebrating, and then Bartolomeo just pushes him out of the ring with a barrier, and it's like Bartolomeo wins, yay!
So I saw someone present a theory before that, like, Sabo is gathering fruits for Dragon for some reason, or for the Revolutionary Army.
That's a good thing to have. Like,
they would be useful items to.
Basically, what Caesar was doing with the fake ones is just amassing as many as you could.
That would be an interesting twist if Dragon tries to, like, take over the Smile Factory.
They want to keep it running. They just want to have control over it.
Yeah.
For the Revolutionary Army instead of for the Yonko.
It would do them a lot of good.
Yeah. Yeah, because... I do wonder, like, what, like, greater purpose does destroying it just weaken the Yonko? Is that their end goal, or...
I mean, that's what Law wants to do, because he wants to take out the Emperor.
Yeah, I mean, it was specifically to go after that Yonko, so...
And Luffy just wants to take down anyone above him.
So, as far as I see it with Doflamingo, I'm thinking Marionette, Law was never actually in the cuffs for some reason. Like, he's just been faking it the whole time. Or some other unforeseen thing.
Well, we can all agree he's not dead.
Yeah, or... I mean, there's still the possibility of the Pika thing, or one other thing that I had read, which might be possible, I suppose, is that Doflamingo at one point forced Law ahead of time to do room or something like that, so that... Yeah.
And cut my neck in this specific place so that when it falls off, it looks really convincing. I'm really good
so
at planning.
Cool.
Aizen, eat your heart out.
Yeah, he's so good at planning. He
decapitated
himself. He put a kingdom of slaves that could be turned back if this little girl goes unconscious.
Well, it's just like, the weird thing is he had me do that like 4 years ago. It wasn't even today. Yeah, excellent chapter.
It's great all around.
Frothing with demand to be like about 5 days from now.
See, my problem with One Piece is that it meanders so often, but then it, like, it really pushes the whole thing to 11 at one point. It almost always redeems the arc.
It's like the whiplash is worth the highs that you get. It's like a roller coaster, like, as often as that is thrown around.
Yeah.
You get, like, you just sit around the board. Like, you kind of know the longer you have the boring climb, the more awesome it's going to be when you go down.
And that's why Fishman Island sucked, because there wasn't, like, that moment.
Like, the boat falling was kind of cool, but aside from that...
I guess.
Yeah, like, the best part of Fishman Island was the Poseidon revelation.
Poseidon adventure?
That also was the boat falling.
Yes, just much slower and underwater.
Yes. Alright.
On
to Naruto?
Naruto? Okay.
So, did Kishimoto feel like Naruto was way too subtle the last 15 years?
Naruto,
yes.
In this chapter, we finally find out the answers of why everyone is so similar. It's because parallels. Parallels and parallels on top of parallels with parallels paralleling the parallels.
I genuinely feel bad.
So how about that cover, guys?
Of, like, the parallels?
Yes, exactly. You genuinely feel bad? What?
I feel bad that the parallels joke became, like, the core tenet of the series.
Like, it was something that you just noticed.
It always was, but
I mean, yeah, but it was like, I thought it was the thing that, like, he thought it was just a cool thematic thing, and it was not, like, the sun in this universe.
I mean, I'm just expecting one of these cover pages, one of these times, to be just, like, two lines that are parallel to each other. And one side, it's going to have, like, an arrow pointing that says Naruto, and the other one's going to say Sasuke. And then under it, it just says, do you get it yet?
Like, it could not have been more explicit, this chapter. They literally spell everything out. Like, he even asked him, like, Naruto, do you know who the other guy is? And I was like, yeah, it's Sasuke. How could you not know?
there's like three important people in the world, and only like one of them is a super dick. So it's probably that guy.
And like Naruto flashes back to remembering when he initially could not, after Danzo died, that he could not bring Sasuke in.
Yeah, and that, and there was that like moment with what's her name, where she like sensed some other demon inside of Sasuke or whatever it was. Remember when there was that entire speculation about like maybe he got a tailed beast when he was talking to, you know, Obito and all that sort
of
stuff?
Oh yeah, the sensory people.
Yeah.
Remember that? I'm guessing that was probably just a metaphorical, or I guess at this point now we know it's Indra.
It's possession by an ancient spirit of reincarnation.
Can I mention again how much I don't like this twist?
I am right there with you.
I am rolling with it. I am just, whatever, you're going to do this, sure, I'm along for the ride.
You're embracing the stupid, but I think the whole, like, even if you take it as just reincarnation, like Zelda-style reincarnation, like, it's still, it takes away so much from the characters.
Eh. So,
okay then.
To continue spelling it out more, they're like, by the way, Hashirama and Madara were the last two. Just
how about
case.
That? What a weird coincidence.
And it turns out that Madara fucked things up by not dying and then like eating Hashirama.
So we never expected that like the Indra would cannibalize the Asherah. That's pretty fucked up, huh?
Yeah, and that's it awakened the Rinnegan because, you know, he had both.
Yeah. I have to imagine Sekai Hokage somewhere being like, yep.
So does this mean that Nagato was possessed by both of them? Or
I don't know. Like, the story makes no sense, honestly.
Yeah, like, they would have to be possessing multiple people at once. Like, it's not a straight-up reincarnation thing.
Yeah. So, anyway, then, the sage...
And, you know, like, I like how he went, like, yeah, and I left, you know, this one little, you know, tablet or something like that, which explained that the Rinnegan would come back when you had... somebody who had both of them, which actually, yeah, Nagato makes no sense, because it's specifically saying that when the two bloodlines reunite, right?
But I think there was something about, wasn't Madara behind Nagato having the Rinnegan in some capacity?
I don't remember.
Oh, right, yeah, he made Obito give him the Rinnegan.
That's right, okay.
Which were probably his old eyes, okay. Anyway, so the sage is like, I don't know what went wrong, I left this amazingly cryptic message in the basement of the evil people's house.
That, like, five people interpreted differently.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it just so happens one of them was like, oh, okay, I get it. I have to do some, like, genetic manipulation and absorb him into me, and all of a sudden I have these awesome eyes. How about
that?
And
one guy interpreted it as, I should kill my friend and then take his eyes.
I mean, my first draft, it just said ninjas do things, but my wife said that they just wouldn't get that, so I kind of made it a little bit more poetic.
I made a second tablet that, oh, right, I forgot to write that, didn't I?
Yeah, there's the amendments. There are 10 more stories underground. You have to dig for them.
And to the other son, I made this mask, which if you put it on, then it causes the god of death to appear. Yeah, I don't really know
why
I did that.
I just realized something.
Oh, Kaguya's the...
Yeah, the mask is her.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I totally never got that.
I didn't figure that out until you said mask, but I happened to be looking at that panel. So yeah, apparently Madara is getting very close to reaching Kaguya's power.
It may be her. It's got, like... First of all, it's shirtless, so...
Actually, I don't think she is the god of death. I think that the mask that it, like, put
no,
on...
No, yeah, I think the mask is supposed to be based on her.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Okay.
So anyway, you know, she was a demon or something like that.
Who has the Byakugan, because we have to work that in somewhere.
Well, she was a goddess, and then they came to fear her as a demon because of her power.
I just love that really quick, like, by the way, she had the Byakugan.
Let's just rep all the bloodline. This person had ice powers like Haku. Let's throw that in there. Yeah.
Anyway, you were saying?
Actually, bloodline limits don't make any sense now, do they?
Yeah. It's fine. It's fine.
There is a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense now.
Like, it makes sense for, like, the Rinnegan, the Sharingan, and the Byakugan, because they just particularly, they outline that specifically here. But then Haku doesn't make any sense, because where did that come from?
I'm tired of you guys saying this doesn't make sense anymore. Let's talk about how this woman was called the rabbit goddess until she became a demon. Ah, now it makes sense.
Yes. So Madara's reaching that level of power.
Yeah. Godhood.
And so, essentially Madara's plan with the Infinite Tsukuyomi is he's cloud computing. He is folding at home his own power.
He is making the Matrix.
Yeah, he's basically draining chakra from everyone as they get, like, raped by the tree.
Well, and, I don't know that rape comes in anywhere.
Yeah. Just, well, I mean, like, they're
food. I mean, you don't rape a sandwich when you eat it.
Maybe you don't.
Not the way you eat sandwiches.
And, you know, if all of their chakra gets reunited, then it's the end of the world.
Well, basically, it seems like what he's trying to do is make a new fruit so that he can become a god.
Yeah.
So it's totally not about, like, eternal happiness or whatever, like Obito said it was.
Well, maybe Obito actually thought that it was that, but...
Yeah, you know. I'm sure he was misled. He's an idiot.
Madara lied to people?
Why would he do that?
Yeah, I'm not sure that happened. So... The Sage of Six Paths explains that, like, you want to stop Madara, I want to stop Madara, I think we can do a thing here.
You want to, you know, I could give a little, take a little, like, we can work out a deal.
Shukaku.
Yeah, Shukaku.
All of a sudden, all of the beasts appear.
Yeah.
And apparently they've been inside Naruto the entire time.
Well, we know those...
Is the point when they first woke up. Or wait, that's right, yeah.
I meant, like, Naruto and Sage Six Paths have been there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm assuming timeline thing, like, this is probably when Obito has put them into him.
Ah.
We've now caught up to that moment.
Yeah.
So all the tail beasts come in, and including, like, the two parts of Kurama.
Well, one part.
Well, yeah, but both parts of Kurama meet.
No.
And if I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, let's do this.
Only the other half.
Just the one half. He's materializing out of the goo. And
oh, okay.
Yeah.
I misinterpreted that the other half of Kurama is here thing.
No, just the one. So then the sage calls them forth.
And all their real names. And
so we
then they basically do that picture again of all of them as babies, except now they're adults.
Yeah. Very, very ugly adults.
Yes. Especially the slug one.
Ugh. What were you thinking? The bug one I always find kind of weird because it just, like, has tails for some reason. Like, it's like a bug and then, I don't know, tails. Sure.
Why not? As opposed to the octopus beast that doesn't really have
like
tails.
It's like a bull that has octopus tails because 8.
Yeah. So Naruto thinks about all the friends he's had and, like, how he needs to protect them all.
We get flashbacks of everybody important.
Yes.
Especially Neji.
Is Neji in there?
Yes, he's next attendant. I looked to make sure.
I'm not sure you're going to do a whole lot of good protecting Neji at this point, Naruto.
I need to protect him. He's so then sleeping now.
Then we find out that Sage Six Paths have been giving this exact same speech to Sasuke.
Yeah, well, Sasuke's been dead.
The entire time.
Oh, right, Sasuke has been dead, hasn't he?
Yeah, Sasuke was also mostly dead.
Parallels, man.
Remember there was that entire thing about how, like, what's-his-name had been giving him chakra from a bunch of different people, and wasn't there some reason that we thought that he might also have a bunch of the tailed beasts just somehow or something?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Eh.
He's gonna have Dragon Sage anyway, yeah. So.
So, Sasuke and Naruto are suddenly next to each other. During this.
I'm assuming that they're not actually, this is just kind of from the Sage of Six Paths perspective.
Yeah.
Because the next panel has a split line between them.
Well, basically, the sage is like, so what do you think of Sasuke? And Naruto's like, we're not blood related, but we're kind of like brothers and we're friends.
Do you like him?
I don't know, we made out a couple times. It's nothing serious.
He's a good guy, I guess. So anyway, they both grab his rod, and
they
I did not see that.
They don't touch his rod.
Yeah,
oh,
they're like
they
reach towards
for it
and then touch his hand or something like that.
And we get the symbolism of, like, the light and the dark on either hand.
And then it cuts back to Gai and Madara, and Gai's on his last leg. And Madara looks kind of beaten up, but is super into it.
Yeah, he looked... I want to see Madara fight Kenpachi. That would be fun.
His imagination powers. So is the infinite Tsukiyomi, but imagination powers.
With that dumb headband broken, he does look a bit more like Madara again.
Yeah.
Just Super Saiyan Madara. So, they translated this really poorly. The other one I read was actually better.
Yeah.
So he's going to use the night owl attack.
Yeah, because the night elephant did not work.
It seems to be his last attack. Yeah.
And, I mean, it looks like his Super Saiyan is burning out. he's almost out of blood to evaporate.
Well, I mean, his whole thing was just, like, delay time until Naruto comes out.
Which seems like it's going to be any minute now.
Yeah. I think it'd be funny if for some reason Naruto and Sasuke change places.
Just like the portal opens again and Sasuke steps out and Kakashi's like, well, fuck, and like slits his own throat.
The portal opens and a, like, you know, fusion of the two of them steps out and Sakura is all happy because that solves her problem.
Out of fanfiction and into my manga.
They did the fusion dance.
So what I didn't like about this is that it's just, it's so cartoonishly explicit.
Well, at the start, I think after they get through the whole, like, here's every parallel and we're going to spell it out for you. And then when it gets into, like...
It's...
And also the plot twist. I just don't like the plot twist.
Yeah. this whole thing with the Sage of Six Paths and the direction that it went in feels sophomoric.
Like, this manga is not getting canceled, but it's moving towards an ending faster and harder than Bleach's.
Yes.
Oh, totally. Without a doubt.
And, like, it shouldn't be. It should. This and Bleach should be, like, exchanging paces.
They should be competing for the top, as opposed to it being the way it is right now.
Do you kind of wonder if Kishimoto's just tired of this now?
Like, he's eager to do Mario or whatever?
Yeah, he's eager to just not do Naruto anymore.
I don't know.
I could see being tired after all of this time. There's certain, like, his series does not lend itself as well to variety as well as something like One Piece does.
Yeah, because once Naruto and Sasuke come out and they have, like, god superpowers versus the final boss, there's not, like, this is it. This is the last
there's that, and then them fighting, then them becoming Kokages.
I guess there's also Woodface. Like, Mask Face, still around. The one that's obviously Yamato.
Oh, right.
I wonder when
we're
going to get
published. That's not
going
to... I don't know. That's not going to...
That's going to be, like, half a chapter at best.
Yeah.
They're going to, like, bust up the mask and be like, oh, he was being brainwashed. I don't know. Something.
Then Anku just spits out of somewhere.
Comes out of Yamato's mouth. God, we got to take better care of her. Put a bell on her or something. Keep...
I assume what's going to happen is that they're going to have, like, Super Sage powers, but it's not going to be quite enough. Super. And then Naruto gets the other part of Kurama.
Super Saiyan?
Yes. Saiyan? Saiyan?
Sage?
Yes, wise.
Saiyan.
Eh. It's pronounced Saiyan.
Like, if I like this plot twist, this might be cool, but... If I were 12, this would be really cool.
I'm 12 at heart, so I don't mind this.
I think part of it is that you are dead inside to Naruto plot twist.
Uh-huh.
You've already gone through every possible permutation in your head.
Does nothing to me.
It's,
Hashirama broke you.
He's burnt out on it from reading all of that fanfiction.
Bring in the plot twist that Sasuke has been a girl the entire time so that Naruto can get married. Not going to do anything. I won't blink.
I mean, they basically got married this chapter. Let's be honest.
They're brothers. Brothers don't get married.
They explicitly said not brothers, as if, like, legal issues.
Ah, that's a really weird... I watched Sword Art Online this weekend, and it gets really weird with that kind of technicality thing about... We're not technically related, so... You know.
I didn't know you my whole life. It's fine.
No, I did know you my whole life, but turns out you're adopted, so let's get to it, I guess?
So the Brady Bunch movie thing?
Kind of, yeah. That show is weird. It has such a good, like, first arc, and then it just gets, like, weird and anime-y for the second one.
What, the Brady Bunch?
Yeah.
Marsha-san. The goo. Yeah,
yeah, I watched,
I
like, the first six episodes of that or something like that, and it was entertaining. But
got it. Jan is so tsundere.
Yeah, this Naruto, is just such a bummer.
Yeah.
Like, it's not bad, it's just...
I disagree. I think this is totally fine.
It's well executed, and it's terrible ideas.
Just lean back and enjoy the ride.
No.
Just give in, damn it.
We refuse.
You'll break. You'll all break.
Oh, this will be just like every other time there was a boneheaded plot twist here, which, you know, five chapters later, it will be basically irrelevant, and we'll continue enjoying it for what it is, but... This plot, like, do you really think that they're going to bring up Indra and Ashura again once Naruto and Sasuke are revived?
I will put $20 on the table saying that there will at least be one panel showing Naruto going for a Rasengan, and behind him will be Ashura, like an image
like
of Ashura.
In the Goku-Gohan thing?
Yeah.
I'm expecting a total Avatar thing where they're going to get their link broken, like, almost immediately. It's going to be like, well, that was all pointless, I guess.
I still don't understand how this whole thing where, like, Madara's also Indra.
He, like...
So Indra's going to be punching himself?
Was Indra more like a venereal disease where, like, you just kind of have it for life?
Talk to your doctor about Indra.
Symptoms of Indra may fade, but you're never truly without Indra.
Side effects may include killing your best friend.
It's another one of those things
being
that, like,
a jerk. From the eyes.
You know, it's like...
Temporary blindness.
The same thing as the reviving jutsu, where it seems like Kabuto, like, glitched it or something and got infinite power, you know, like a video game. This seems like Madara glitched the system and is also Indra again. Like, he hacked it and...
I think the fact that it's, like, so much like a video game is what's weirding me out about this. It's just like, okay, guys, you're about to face the final boss. Here's your last power-up.
There's a glowing blue circle over there, if you know.
You need to... Like, it might as well have been given to them by a Chozo statue. I don't know.
I'm fine.
One Piece was great. What if One Piece ends badly? Have you guys thought about that? What if One Piece ends terribly?
Luffy, you're the reincarnation of Ashura. I know it's weird, okay, but...
What if he's the reincarnation of Gold Roger?
There's this island of ninjas that we don't go to very often, and they have their own deal with a tree or something. But yeah, you're that person. So...
I mean, manga usually doesn't end well.
Also, Ace was Indra, so good job. Problem solved. He's still dead, right?
Yes.
Ace? Yes.
Yeah. Okay. For now.
He's the Neji of that universe.
Is Neji still dead? We should
do better set Tumblr.
We should do that now, because you know he's gonna get brought back.
Well, I can't.
Oh, there's a number of those is so and so dead for like Attack on Titan and that sort of stuff.
Oh, I should check like is Abraham Lincoln still dead.tumblr.com or something.
Turns out no.
Yeah, weird. Huh. Good thing we were checking.
Yeah. And isn't there like a what is it? Isn't there a Firefox plugin for Abe Bagoda or something like that?
If Abe Bagoda's still alive.
Yeah, no, there was something where like it was one of those first ones early in the internet where newspapers were reporting that he was dead and he basically went like no, I'm not. So there's I don't know. It was one of those early internet meme running joke things. Is Abe Bagoda dead?
People were saying that guy who played Newman on Seinfeld was dead, and he like tweeted like, "No,
yeah." He's like, "I am, huh?"
All right.
You guys are the boss.
Affect insurance. All right.
Yeah, like here, go to abevagoda.com, and it shows his current status.
He is still alive.
Is he?
Good to know.
Wouldn't that be like really awkward if you guys were like, he's still alive, and I clicked and it's like, it says he's dead. And the news stories start coming out.
That would be
breaking
very
news.
Weird. Yeah.
Alright. Let's wrap this.
That's a podcast.
Yep. This has been your Friday, April 4th Gemcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
See you all next time.
Yeah, there was one where it was like, it's as if then their cloud we should it catch if you wake.